It's going to become, I think, one of the central issues in the way that Russia is perceived. This is also a step, in my mind, a step forward for the whole question of gay and lesbian rights.
One of the things I'm really looking forward to is maybe some gay and lesbian athletes bringing home the gold or silver or bronze.
We were just looking to diversify Archie a little bit, come out with some new characters, kind of bring Archie into the 21st century a little bit. And I had proposed it to my boss. And when I mentioned having a gay character, he was all for it.
Welcome to This Way Out, the International Gay and Lesbian Radio Magazine. I'm Greg Gordon. The Russian Olympics controversy burns brighter, marriage equality gets the last word at an Australian leaders' debate, and art imitates life with Archie. Those stories and more this week because you've discovered This Way Out.
I'm Johnny Torres.
And I'm Sarah Sweeney.
With NewsWrap, a roundup of some of the news in or affecting the lesbian and gay community for the week ending August 10th, 2013. Artist Rodrigo Borda and television producer Sergio Mirando became the first same-gender couple to register for marriage this week in Uruguay. They've been together since 1999, so it's been a 14-year engagement. The couple told USA Today that they rushed to the Montevideo Civil Registry Office before dawn on August 5th, the day marriage equality took effect, so that they'd be the first in their country to register. Uruguay, however, has a 10-day waiting period between registering and marrying. According to the BBC, Bora and Mirando plan to tie the knot in September. The first same-gender couple in Uruguay to marry was not identified. They were given special permission to wed immediately because one of them is hospitalized and dying of cancer. Uruguay joins Argentina as the second country in South America to offer civil marriage equality nationwide. President José Mujica's progressive administration passed the law in May and has also decriminalized abortion. Legislative approval is expected soon for a government-managed marijuana industry.
An in-your-face fight for marriage equality has erupted in the U.S. state of Pennsylvania. Democratic officials in the state's third-largest county, Montgomery, near Philadelphia, began issuing marriage licenses to same-gender couples on July 24th. They cited the U.S. Supreme Court's DOMA decision and told local reporters that they wanted to be on the right side of history. 30 same-gender couples have since married, and the 100th license was issued this week. Temple University history professor Ralph Young told the Huffington Post that they're acting in that long tradition of dissent, women fighting for suffrage, blacks fighting for civil rights. They're trying to force the government to do something, he said. The American Civil Liberties Union has taken another approach, filing a federal lawsuit challenging the state's 1996 Marriage Act that defines the institution as exclusively heterosexual. It could take years, however, for the suit to wind its way through the court system. Meanwhile, conservative Pennsylvania Republican Governor Tom Corbett has filed a lawsuit challenging the legality of the Montgomery County marriage licenses.
In other news, Pride enjoyed its second birthday this week in both Vietnam and Uganda. The theme of the three-day celebration in Hanoi was Strive with Pride. It included parties, film screenings, and panel discussions, and was capped off on August 4th by more than 200 bicyclists waving rainbow flags as they whizzed through city streets past Lenin's statue and Ho Chi Minh's mausoleum. Police watched along the sidelines but did not intervene, even though public demonstrations are generally frowned upon in Vietnam, and officials had not given permission for it. The communist country has surprised many in recent years by becoming one of the most progressive on gay and lesbian issues in the region. The National Assembly, Vietnam's unicameral legislature, begins debate on a marriage equality bill in October.
More than 100 brave people marched in the second annual Pride event on August 3rd in the Ugandan city of Entebbe, about 20 miles from the capital of Kampala. The procession wound its way along a beach and through a botanical garden. There were no government attempts to break up the march, even though police shut down a similar march last year. Several activists were detained, although they were eventually all released without charge. Uganda's state-owned New Vision News Agency, however, has yet to report this year's peaceful event. The infamous and draconian so-called Kill the Gays bill, which includes execution for aggravated homosexuality, remains in play in the Ugandan parliament.
Elsewhere, Armenian authorities introduced a bill early this week that would outlaw what it called non-traditional sexual relationships. Its sponsors claimed a need to protect the model of the traditional Armenian family against phenomena alien to national Armenian mentality. Individual offenders and legal entities would be fined the equivalent of up to $4,000 for promoting non-traditional sexual relationships. If that phrase sounds familiar, a similar law in Russia has brought increasing international criticism, most especially because the country will be hosting the 2014 Winter Olympics in February. But just days after news about the Armenian bill went viral, authorities withdrew it. According to the Armenian news site Azatatun.com, critics expressed concern that the bill would incur a similar backlash from Western governments and civil rights activists around the world. But police spokesman Ashat Aharonian maintained that it was not withdrawn because of concerns over international pressure. He said Armenian police chief Vladimir Gasparian determined that the proposal had shortcomings and was not a priority for the police.
The Lithuanian Central Electoral Commission refused this week to register a group promoting a Russian-style law to criminalize so-called homosexual propaganda and banned them from collecting petition signatures for a referendum on the issue. The commissioners ruled 5-4 against registering the group. Two commissioners abstained. Its proponents won a public vote on outlawing any information related with propagation of homosexuality. But the legal department of the Lithuanian parliament told the commission that a ban on discussion of LGBT issues would be discriminatory and violate the Lithuanian constitution and international conventions. Its sponsors are threatening to sue the commission to allow them to start circulating the petition. If a court approves, they would need 300,000 signatures from eligible voters within 3 months to qualify the referendum.
If Russian President Vladimir Putin thought that signing a national law banning the promotion of non-traditional sexual relations would not get much international attention, he badly miscalculated. With gay and lesbian athletes already vowing to be out at the 2014 Winter Olympics, which Russia is hosting in February in the city of Sochi, the country's so-called no-promo-homo law continues to grab the spotlight around the world. It's prompted calls to boycott the games, to boycott Russian vodka, or to boycott all Russian-made products. Russian government officials this week uniformly confirmed that the anti-propaganda law applies to both citizens and foreign visitors and that it will be enforced at the Winter Olympics. This week, more than 300,000 signatures were delivered on petitions to the International Olympic Committee and the Russian ambassador to the United Nations, condemning the anti-gay law and demanding written reassurances from President Putin that LGBT athletes and spectators will be safe at the Games.
Organizers of the annual Stockholm Pride event put out an official welcome mat this year for LGBT Russians who wanted a Swedish safe haven from their country's growing repression. They were welcomed in several speeches at the huge August 1st launch party, which were shown on big screen TVs and featured subtitles in English and Russian. The U.S. Embassy proudly posted a picture on its Facebook page of the rainbow flag flying beneath the American flag in honor of Stockholm Pride Week. Alex, a 22-year-old gay Russian visiting Sweden for the first time, described his experience at the Pride Parade on August 4th as amazing. He told Gay Star News that, "It's crazy here. It's so loud and colorful. I wanted to come here so I could be who I am," he said. "I hope Russia will have a day like this one day."
LGBT people and their allies stood up for their brothers and sisters in Russia at the annual Amsterdam Pride Parade on August 3rd. Anti-Putin slogans and banners were everywhere, and members of the local Labor Party wore Gay Pride for Russia t-shirts. The annual flotilla down Amsterdam's famed canals drew a crowd this year of more than 500,000. Will, a 70-year-old Dutch woman, was a first-time spectator, but "you have to do it once in your life," she told Agence France-Presse as she blew kisses to a boatload of men in leather mini-shorts. "It's a proper party," she said, "and at the same time, it's important to show that everyone has the same rights." Along with several politicians, businesses, and social groups, the country's football federation, KNVB, entered a boat for the first time. Several well-known footballers joined Dutch national team head coach Louis van Gaal on the boat, which displayed banners urging an end to homophobia in the sports world. Pierre van Hooijdonk, a former Dutch striker who played for the national team, told the French news agency that, "We are here today to say, okay, if you are gay, we'll support you, we won't discriminate."
And finally, Canadian Olympians march for the first time in the 35-year history of Pride in Vancouver, British Columbia, on August 4th. Snowboarder Mercedes Nicole and alpine skier Mike Janik have each represented Canada at the Winter Games before and are planning to compete in Sochi in February. They told reporters that their participation was part of a larger movement to foster tolerance and diversity among the athletes headed to the 2014 Winter Games. There were more than 100 parade contingents, and several marchers carried signs showing Vladimir Putin and his sports minister, Vitaly Mutko, wearing eyeshadow, blush, and lipstick. Others carried signs simply saying, "Love Russians."
That's News Wrap for the week ending August 10th, 2013. Follow the news in your area and around the world. An informed community is a strong community.
News Wrap is written by Greg Gordon, recorded at the studios of KPFK Los Angeles, and produced by Steve Pride.
News Wrap from This Way Out is brought to you by you.
Help keep us on the air and in your ears at thiswayout.org, where you can also read the text of this newscast. I'm Sarah Sweeney.
And I'm Johnny Torres.
Controversy rages over Russia and is renewed in Riverdale later in the program. Anyone who is still awake by the end of this week's lackluster first leaders debate of Australia's federal election campaign got a juicy tidbit when the moderator asked each about marriage equality. Opposition leader Tony Abbott gave his lesbian sister a shout-out, but not a break, while Prime Minister Kevin Rudd promised to deliver.
It's a very important issue. My sister Chris is in the audience. I know how important an issue it is. It's not the only important issue, and I've got to say that as far as an incoming coalition government is concerned, the priority will be on things like reducing cost of living pressure and increasing job security.
Would you allow a conscience vote for coalition MPs?
We had a vote in the National Parliament about a year ago. It was fairly decisive against same-sex marriage. If this issue were to come up again in the future, it would be a matter for a future party room.
Okay, and Prime Minister, just
position.
A quick response to you. Will we see this legislated in the next term?
One, I support marriage equality. And the reason I do has been well canvassed in the national debate and why I've changed my position. Number two, I believe this is just a mark of decency to same-sex couples across the country who wish the same loving, caring relationship that, for example, I've had with Therese, my wife, now for the last 32 years,
and for that to be
formalised. Number three is my commitment to you is that within the first 100 days of a re-elected government, a bill would come forth, to legalise marriage equality. We would, of course, on our side of politics, allow a full conscience vote, and I would just appeal to Mr Abbott to do the same. Because folk out there want this to happen.
That's how Australian opposition leader Tony Abbott and Prime Minister Kevin Rudd answered a question about marriage equality this week during their first campaign debate. Voters head to the polls on September 7th.
Hi, this is Janice Ian, and you're listening to This Way Out, the international lesbian and gay radio magazine.
Human rights activists and government leaders around the world are discussing how to best respond to Russia's crackdown on sexual minorities as the 2014 Winter Olympics in Sochi approaches. MSNBC's Rachel Maddow recapped the situation so far and asked Georgetown University Professor of International Affairs and Government Charles King to analyze the global impact of the controversy.
Russian President Vladimir Putin has signed into law a bill that makes it illegal to talk about gay people in a way that is not hateful in Russia. You cannot talk about being gay in Russia in anything approaching even a positive way, or you will be arrested. That is the law. There's a provision in the law that says even if you are a visitor to Russia, gay foreigners and tourists can be arrested and held 2 weeks and then expelled from the country for being gay or for being pro-gay. Apparently, being pro-gay means saying gay affirmative things or displaying a rainbow flag or holding hands with someone of the same sex. That is all illegal now. And it's not some old vestigial law left over from worse times in Russia. It's a new law signed into law roughly 6 months before Russia is scheduled to host the Winter Olympics, during which athletes from all over the world, even including some gay ones, are scheduled to travel to Russia to participate in those winter games. So what happens next here? Joining us now is Charles King. He's a professor of international affairs and government at Georgetown University. He's author of Odessa, Genius and Death in a City of Dreams. Professor King, thank you very much for being with us tonight.
Thanks for having me.
About the Olympics and whether or not Russia cares very much about international opinion, particularly on this issue of gay rights, heading toward the Olympics. It sort of seems like with this much lead time, it might become a very big demonstrative conflict for Russia at those games.
Russia is taking these Olympics very, very seriously. They're taking place this coming February. Russia is launching the largest torch ceremony, the longest torch ceremony ever held in the entire history of the modern Olympics. 65,000 kilometers the torch is going to go all across every constituent of the Russian, every constituent part of the Russian Federation. So this is a chance for Russia to demonstrate its status, demonstrate its modernity, and showcase itself to the world. But the question of gay and lesbian rights is now becoming not just a side issue, which I think Russians always saw it as being, but it's going to become, I think, one of the central issues in the way that Russia is perceived. This is also a step, in my mind, a step forward for the whole question of gay and lesbian rights, because this is now a human rights issue. It's become part of a human rights campaign.
Professor Charles King was interviewed on MSNBC by Rachel Maddow. Protests against Russia's policies continue to build. U.S., European, and Russian LGBT athletic organizations generally oppose a boycott, but are calling for the International Olympic Committee to ensure the safety of queer participants. U.S. President Barack Obama expressed his concerns this week on NBC TV's Tonight Show with Jay Leno.
Something that shocked me about Russia, and I'm surprised this is not a huge story. Suddenly, homosexuality is against the law. I mean, this seems like Germany. Let's round up the Jews. Let's round up the gays. Let's round up the black. I mean, it starts with that. You round up people who you don't want. I mean, why is not more of the world outraged at this?
Well, I've been very clear that when it comes to universal rights, when it comes to people's basic freedoms, that whether you are discriminating on the basis of race, religion, gender, or sexual orientation, you are violating the basic morality that I think should transcend every country. That's what we stand for, and I believe that that's a precept that's not unique to America. That's something that should apply everywhere.
Do you think it will affect the Olympics?
You know, I think Putin and Russia have a big stake in making sure the Olympics work, and I think they understand that for most of the countries that participate in the Olympics, you know, we wouldn't tolerate gays and lesbians being treated differently.
At a subsequent press conference, Obama concurred with British Prime Minister David Cameron and several prominent gay and lesbian Olympians who have rejected calls for a boycott of the Games.
I know that one question that's been raised is how do we approach the Olympics? I want to just make very clear right now, I do not think it's appropriate to boycott the Olympics. We've got a bunch of Americans out there who are training hard, who are doing everything they can to succeed. Nobody's more offended than me by some of the anti-gay and lesbian legislation that you've been seeing in Russia. But as I said just this week, I've spoken out against that not just with respect to Russia, but a number of other countries where we continue to do work with them, but we have a strong disagreement on this issue. And one of the things I'm really looking forward to is maybe some gay and lesbian athletes bringing home the gold or silver or bronze, which I think would go a long way in rejecting the kind of attitudes that we're seeing there. And if Russia doesn't have gay or lesbian athletes, then it'd probably make their team weaker.
That was U.S. President Barack Obama. Stay tuned to This Way Out for further updates on the situation in Russia and the growing International Olympics outcry.
Extra, extra, read all about it. Extra.
Have you checked our website lately? For now playing information and behind-the-scenes news about your favorite international LGBT radio show, log on to thiswayout.org.
The latest Archie Comics release features its first gay character, Kevin Keller, getting his first gay kiss, even though his very existence continues to horrify comic book homophobes. That chapter of Kevin's life was no doubt already in the works when This Way Out media correspondent Steve Pride tracked down his proud papa at Comic-Con 2013 in San Diego.
And now, the Riverdale Carnival presents the Archies.
Among the Super Friends, Pokemons, and Wookiees is a gay kid from Riverdale High who hangs with Betty, Veronica, Reggie, and Jughead. And I've zigzagged through 100,000 comic book fans to reach the booth of Archie Comics.
My name is Dan Parent, and I'm a writer and artist for Archie Comics. I've been there for the past 26 years, and I've worked on pretty much every title and every character they have, and I'm known basically for creating Kevin Keller.
Tell me about Kevin. How did that come about?
Well, we were just looking to diversify Archie a little bit, come out with some new characters, kind of sort of bring Archie into the 21st century a little bit. And I had proposed it to my boss, who we had a new CEO who came in, John Goldwater, who was all for sort of diversifying the Archie brand. And when I mentioned having a gay character, he was all for it. So we'd come up with designs and sketches and ideas for Kevin, and that was the beginning of Kevin.
Was there any hesitation? Did anyone say, how gay does he need to be?
Not really. We just sort of treaded slowly. We just introduced him and then sort of blended him in with the Archie gang and sort of formulated his relationship with Veronica and Jughead. Then we started to tread into the area of dating and boyfriends. So, no, there was no real game plan. We just sort of did it as we went along.
We're Facebook friends, so I kind of gather that you're a straight guy with a family. So did you have to do any kind of research, or just does everyone just know enough about the scene these days?
Yeah, I mean, you know, we all have gay family members and friends, too, so you could draw on that. And the experiences are very similar in a lot of ways, from everybody sort of has awkward periods growing up and moves and has family issues. So there are some common threads that everybody has that we draw on, and but we did get a lot of feedback from, you know, gay family members and friends, and that always helps.
Well, I gather the 1 million moms are great friends of yours.
Oh, yes, yes. You know, nothing against them. They have their right to their opinions, but they set up some boycotts of the Archie books because of the Kevin wedding, and usually it kind of helps us in the long run. So their efforts to sort of thwart the Kevin books has really helped them.
Well, tell me about the evolution of Kevin since that first Archie comic that he was in. Now he's his own book, and things didn't really happen for him. Tell me about that.
Yeah, we introduced him in Veronica 202, and he came into town, and the initial story was Veronica having a crush on Kevin, and him, of course, not reciprocating because he's not interested in Veronica or any girls in that manner, in that way. So that was the beginning, and since then, the issue sold out, so that was a very encouraging sign. Then we did a 4-issue miniseries with Kevin, which did well. So then from that point, he started his own book. So now he's going into his second year with his own title. And then in that book, we've just sort of gone from him entering Riverdale High to dating. Now he has a boyfriend. So, and then that's where we're at now. And now we'll see how that relationship goes.
What sort of LGBT issues have you addressed with Kevin?
We've addressed the issue of coming out. And he came out to his parents, and of course, in his case, it was a much easier road than most. But, you know, we are Archie, and we are Riverdale, so everything's a little better in the Archie comics than real life. I try and say that that's the way it should be, you know, the whole his experience. But we've addressed that. We've addressed bullying. Bullying's been a big thing. We've shown Kevin getting bullied. We've also shown Kevin sticking up for kids who get bullied. And we've also done things with the It Gets Better campaign, you know, just using the Kevin image, getting that out there. So those are a few of the things we've tackled.
And what has the feedback been from fans?
Most of the Archie fans were on board with Kevin right away. And even if we had any who were sort of on, who weren't sure, have sort of jumped on and are happy with the character. Feedback's been great. The only negative feedback really were from people who weren't really Archie fans, really. They sort of were looking on the outside and not really reading the books. So the feedback's been about 99% positive.
Archie, Betty, and Veronica have been in high school, I guess, for how many years?
72 years.
Not the brightest group, I guess.
Yeah, no, I know. They're doing something. But they look great.
So what do you think will be next for Kevin?
I think we're going to see Kevin just continuing to date and going through the same things that other teenagers go through. We might see some breakups. We might see him preparing for college. And then him sort of, you know, he sort of isn't really sure what he wants to do. He sort of likes, he likes to write. So maybe he'll become like a journalist or a writer or, you know, we'll see.
What do you hope the readers take away from Kevin Keller's books?
We just want them to feel that Riverdale, like the Archie universe, is a tolerant and accepting universe, and that everybody has a place, no matter if they're straight, gay, lesbian, transgender, that it's okay. And that if you're a kid and you're picking up a comic book and you have one of those issues going on, that you can see someone who's similar to you. That kids don't feel alone. And that it's all right, that it's normal. You know, it used to be considered, you know, abnormal to be a part in the LGBT area. And you know, we want to say that it's normal. And if Kevin is a part of giving that message, then that's the job we're trying to, you know, accomplish.
You know, I read Archie when I was like 12. I cannot imagine how my life would be different if there had been a Kevin Keller back then. What kind of feedback do you get from kids?
Great feedback from kids, because nowadays a lot of kids are open now. You know, they don't have to hide. They can be open. But the most feedback I get is from, I'd say people in their 40s and 50s, in that age group, who grew up sort of in that era when there was no representation. And I think the most feedback, though, is from parents of gay kids. Parents who want there to be representation for their kids. So I wasn't expecting that. I was expecting to hear from the kids themselves or from older gay readers, but I wasn't expecting such a feedback from parents of gay kids. So that's been interesting and rewarding to hear from them.
This has been a conversation with Dan Parent. From Comic-Con 2013 in San Diego, I'm Steve Pride. Thanks for listening. Everything's Archie.
Thanks for tuning into This Way Out, the international lesbian and gay radio magazine. This week, Johnny Torres, Sarah Sweeney, Steve Pride, and Janice Ian contributed program material, and Kim Wilson composed and performed our theme music. This Way Out is funded by the Kicking Assets Fund of the Tides Foundation, the Yavanna Foundation, the estate of Christopher David Trentum, and our generous listeners. Check out an updated thiswayout.org for more information and for links to our podcast, blog, and Facebook page. You can also hear This Way Out on iTunes. Follow TWO Radio on Twitter, email TWORadio@AOL.com, or write to us at P.O. Box 38327, Los Angeles, California, 90038, USA. For Associate Producer Lucia Chappell and everyone at This Way Out, I'm Greg Gordon. Thanks for listening online at thiswayout.org and on Ireland's RTE Digital Radio Choice Channel, Boise Community Radio, Boise, Idaho, WPSU, University Park, Pennsylvania, and more than 200 other stations around the world, including this community radio station. Stay tuned!